Boektopia podcast. Lezen is beleven. Met Katrien Steyaert.
Welcome, Karen Rose.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. We're delighted to have you here. May I assume that this is your first time in Kortrijk?
Yes. The last time I was here was 5 years ago, and that was in Antwerp.
Okay, that's not Kortrijk. So
nope,
it's a new experience.
Brand new, yes.
You travel the world thanks to your thriller bestsellers. What is actually the greatest satisfaction for you of meeting your readers?
I love to meet all my readers, but there's a special connection when I meet someone who might have a disabled child who is grateful that their child is depicted in one of my books, or they have a disability and, you know, oh, I saw someone like me in your books, and that's always lovely.
Recognition. They feel seen.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Is there such a thing as a vintage Karen Rose reader?
You mean somebody who's been with me from the beginning?
No, I mean the kind of profile of your readers. Is there something they have in common, you think?
Well, I think one of the things they have in common is that they like a happy ending for the good guys, mm-hmm. and they like an unhappy ending for the bad guys.
A very cruel ending.
I know, right? I know. I mean, and I don't feel sorry for that. Some of the murders along the way I feel sorry for, but never the bad guy in the end. And I think that they like the combination of the characters, it being a world of characters and the suspense and not knowing, you know, what's going to happen in the end.
Yeah. And to what extent do you keep those readers in mind while you are writing?
Mainly, I just want to make sure that it's a book that entertains,
mm-hmm.
And that if I've drawn a specific character, a specific career, or someone with a specific interest, or again, a disability, that I do it well. I do it in a way that I'm not hurting anyone, I'm helping, and they enjoy it.
Oh, that's quite important, I think, because a lot of people read you. So you to some extent, you have a certain responsibility, right?
I do, yeah. Well, there's a definite responsibility to, we call it the writer's contract, to give them what we've promised, and in a way that's fresh and new every mm-hmm. time. And,
yeah.
and that's that can be a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it hard sometimes? Is it blood, sweat, and tears?
Sometimes, yeah. And sometimes it just comes like magic. You know,
it's like just a walk in a park.
Exactly. Those are the most joyous experiences. And sometimes it's a little bit more difficult.
And how was this one, Quarter to Midnight? It's called V for 12 in Dutch.
It was one of the magic ones.
Oh, really?
I sat down. I mean, it takes time.
Uh-huh.
It took me, I can write a book quickly. When I finally get the story and I'm in the story, I write very fast. So this one I wrote in about a month.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
really.
It's,
but
know.
I mean, that's without the whole period of thinking and brooding, which precedes it, right?
The thinking and the brooding for this one didn't take that long. It was just maybe a matter of maybe a week.
It kind of presented itself
yes,
to you
it
then?
Did. It did, yeah. It was
sounds a bit fluffy, but I that's what I hear a lot from writers.
Some are more difficult than others. This particular one, I knew exactly what I wanted the book to be. And just flowed like water.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Can you briefly say something about the plot without spoiling, of course? I'm going to leave that balancing act to you.
Well, this is the first book in my New Orleans series. And my idea, when I knew I wanted to write about New Orleans, which I honestly picked because I wanted to visit, because it's fun and they have good restaurants.
It's just a good excuse, actually.
I know, right? I know. Usually I've lived in a place or I know people in the place. New Orleans is just fun. But there are some serious aspects to the city. And one of the biggest ones, of course, is the damage done by Hurricane Katrina.
Of course, yeah.
Many years ago now. And I knew when I wrote about New Orleans, I knew Katrina would have to be included. I mean, in my mind, I knew. And I remember some of the images from that time of people sitting on their roofs,
mm. That's something that stuck with you. Yes. And with lots of people, I think.
Yes, I think that was like the image I remember. There were like two or three images I remember. That is the big one, is people sitting on their roofs, the water like at their feet, and waiting for help to come, you know, hoping help
was really apocalyptic. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, their whole lives have basically been upended, destroyed. People died. It was catastrophic. And I thought how easy it would be if you wanted to murder someone in a catastrophe like that, when everyone is just looking to survive and you wanted to get rid of someone, how easy would that be? And I wondered how often it happened. And that became the idea for Quarter to Midnight. And the witness for this particular murder is a 5-year-old boy. And fast forward to the present, he is instrumental in helping solve this murder.
But that's funny that you say, you immediately have this reflex about, oh, wow, wait a minute, catastrophe. How easy it would be to kill someone. Is that, that's probably the professional deformation you have.
Yes, I know. My children lament this all the time.
Why?
So like, oh, mom. Well, mainly because when they bring people home, I'm like, are you a serial killer? And they're like, no. Of course you're going to say that. But, you know, the not being able to go buy a new refrigerator without thinking, or freezer without wondering how many bodies will fit inside. My children have been, I think probably, they may have been a little bit warped by mom's career, but
maybe
a little. But they're very careful.
Mm-hmm.
They're careful.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, they're very careful. But yeah,
they're very conscious of all the dangers that might happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how about you? Do you suffer from it? From the fact that you have these kind of instinctive?
I wouldn't say I suffer from it.
No, that's a heavy word.
My friends laugh at me. I mean, it's a running joke, but you know, I was going on a tour of vineyards one day, this many years ago, with two of my friends. They'd bought me a tour for my birthday, and the guy shows up and I'm like, I want to see your ID, your driver's license. And my friends are like, Karen. I'm like, I'm not getting in the car with a strange man. We tell our children this all the time. I want to see your ID. Well, he had written a book about the vineyards, and he turns it around and his picture's on the back and he holds it up to his face. He says, is this good enough? I'm like, okay, that's good enough. You're who you say you are.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of being careful, a sense of knowing what's possible.
Yeah.
Because I read a lot about it. It makes, but I've always been that way. Even as a child, I was that way.
Oh, yeah. So that's why this is the perfect profession for you. And that's
Absolutely.
Why you quit your job as a teacher of chemistry and physics.
Yeah, it is a perfect job.
Well, that's great to hear. A lot of people search for the perfect job and never find it. So,
Well, I tried a lot of things. Well, a lot of things. But I tried some things that didn't work as well as others. And I'm kind of happened into writing and I really loved it.
Of course, it's not all darkness in your books. Yep. There's always, and that's something that is, I think, vintage Karen Rose, always the romantic suspense
Yes.
as well. How is that in this book?
Well, in this book, the couple is Gabe, whose father is murdered in the first scene because...
Yeah, that's quite an entrance in Yes. the book, I must
and
say.
And he's murdered at 12:45. And he has been searching for the truth for years about this murder. This is the one case. A lot of police officers and detectives will have that one case that they can't let go of. And this is his case.
Mm.
He can't let go of. And so he's been trying to solve this murder for years. And somebody didn't want him to. And so he's murdered in the very first scene. And so Gabe is his son. Gabe wants answers. He's been made to believe his father committed suicide. And he knows his father did not do that. Molly is a private investigator. She's a former law enforcement. And Molly's got a pretty dark backstory, too. Molly actually killed someone in self-defense and has had to live with that all of these years. So
that's quite heavy.
Yeah, it is mm-hmm. heavy. Because you always say, what will I do in this situation? Mm-hmm. You know, if someone attacked my children, I would protect my children. You know, I would do whatever I had to do. And that's what she's doing. She's protecting someone she loved. She still has to live with the consequences, with the after effects. Mm-hmm. And so Molly's she's a pretty heavy character. So together, the two of them come to solve this mystery. And there's immediate interest that develops into attraction. And I really do love those two characters.
Yeah, nice. And I was wondering, is this the fact that you always have these love stories? Is that a kind of a way to have adventurous on paper, because you yourself have been married for more than 30 years, have this stable love life. But in your books, you can just fantasize about all kinds of things.
Well, I think it's more creating characters. It's like they say, when you're happy, you want everybody around you to be happy. Uh-huh. It's kind of creating that happiness over and over and over again, which is, it feels nice. It feels nice to do.
Do you tackle this differently than, let's say, 20 years ago when you started writing? I wondered if you see what you see as the differences between your early novels and these ones, technically speaking.
I think there was more of the romance element in the earlier books. I think they became a little darker as I went along. Well, they were always dark. I think the thriller takes up more page space as I went along. So I think in that way I've changed. But most of the time, I start with the characters. Every now and then, I start with the plot. Like this, with this particular book, I started with, what if somebody witnessed a murder during Hurricane Katrina? That was kind of my thought. And what would they do? Because they were just looking to survive. You know, what would they do? And what are the ripples, the consequences, the that happened as the years passed? And the characters were still important, though. But a lot of times I'll start with the characters. And that's that. And I think that has not changed.
Is that also the advice you would give to younger, less experienced writers? Because I've had here over the past few days, I've had actually quite a lot of thriller writers, and some of them said they admired your work. And so I wonder what they could learn from you, what you would tell them.
Well, one of the things I think that helped me when I was learning to write was I wasn't writing to get published when I first started writing. I was writing because I loved it and it was fun for me and it was my escape. Mm-hmm. You know, my children were small. I'd put them to bed. I'd have a little bit of, my husband worked nights. So I'd have a little bit of time before he came home. And I traveled a lot for my job and I would spend my downtime just finding out what these people were going to do next. And it was a joy. It was just an absolute joy. So many times I meet new writers and there's the pressure. There's so much pressure on them to get published. And I didn't have that because it wasn't even in my mind at the time. I was just writing for fun. And eventually it was my husband who said, you really should try to do something with this. You should, you know, you've written all these stories. You should try to get them published. So I did try. I sent out some letters and got some very nice rejections, which I was happy with. I was going to go on and have it be a hobby because I had a day job. You know, I had a very fulfilling career and I was a mother of two young children. I had enough in my life and I was fine.
This was an extra.
Yeah, it was fine with it just being my hobby. And then ultimately I did decide I wanted to get published and that kind of started me on this journey, but I didn't have the pressure. So I could think about them as real people who just did fun things. And as I learned to write, we talk about finding your voice. Mm-hmm. I found my voice, which turned out to be suspenseful. And my first agent said, you have a suspenseful voice. Have you ever thought about writing a thriller? I was like, nope, but I could try. And that turned out to be my thing. That was just the thing that it clicked for me. So that earlier not having the pressure, writing because I loved the character. So that's what I usually tell aspiring writers.
Yeah, that's interesting advice. And what would you miss actually when you wouldn't be able to write?
What you mean when I get like a writer's block?
It hadn't worked out. And knowing what you know now, what is the most interesting or fun thing for you about writing that you would miss if you had to return to your teacher job, for example?
I think I would miss the connection with readers because that has been an important part of the joy of writing. I would still write. I mean, I'm positive that left to my own devices, I would continue with this hobby. But I have met so many wonderful people over the years who've seen something in my books that's spoken to them, and they'll email me, they'll meet me. And there's this connection. And so I know that if somebody has emailed me, there's probably other people out there who didn't, who I've also connected with. And I may never meet them, but it's an opportunity to connect with people. And I think that's what sets being a writer apart from other careers. Yeah, yeah. You're connecting with people all over the world that you may never meet. So
It's quite magical, actually. It really is. If you think about it, it's just words on paper.
Yes.
But then all the effects it has.
That's
it's
right.
Wonderful, right? Yeah. One last question. Maybe one day expect a thriller set in Kortrijk or Belgium?
Now, I get asked this question a lot, and if I ever did, I would have to spend a lot more time here. I've read books where the author did not live, had never lived, and it doesn't affect the story itself, but those little details. I'm a detail person.
Oh, but they matter.
They matter,
make all
you know?
The difference.
If you call a cookie the wrong name, or dog food the wrong name, or you know, it's a it yanks you out of the story.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
It breaks the spell, and I would never want to do that to a reader. So if I ever did, I would probably come and live here for several months. And
but you just told me that you like the cold and the rain, so
I know
it would
be really perfect. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be looking forward
to
that then.
Okay.
But for now, thank you very much for being here.
And thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much.
Booktopia podcast. Lezen is beleven. Beluister ook de andere podcasts, live opgenomen op Booktopia 2023. Nu via je favoriete podcast app.